Yickety! And a howdy do. Welcome to another episode of the Sporting Goods Podcast. It's your boy Wig. And I got a special guest all the way from Burlington, New Jersey. It's my homie, Reggie Thomas. Go ahead and introduce yourself, my brother.
What up, Jay Wig? You already know what it is, man. Listen, I'm happy to be on the show. Ready to talk this sports talk with you, you know what I'm saying? Just a little backdrop of me, man. Went to college out for the Memorial basketball here.
True.
Before I even went there, where you probably don't even know this, but I played one year of college football at West Virginia State.
All right.
You know what I mean? So played a little bit of that now. You know what I mean? I coach high school football, basketball. I do my fitness thing. So, you know what I mean? I'm ready to talk about, you know, some things we got going on. Also make a couple picks, too. I make some picks, Jayway. So, yeah, man, thanks for having me on the show. Everyone, you know what I mean? You can follow me on Twitter at Blog Mamba. I always say, the easy way I explain it, or to hear it. You know, Kobe is the Black Mamba. I do a lot of blogs. I do a lot of posts on Blog Mamba.
So you're the GOAT of all the blogs, then? What you trying to say?
The GOAT of all the blogs, man.
Hey, man, you got to talk that shit, man. If you got it, you believe it, go ahead and talk it, baby.
Why not? I got to believe in me, right?
True. Because nobody else ain't going to believe in you if you don't believe in yourself.
Ain't nobody else going to do it better than me. That's how I look. Nobody else going to believe in me better than me.
Hey, man. Right. I appreciate you for blessing the show, as a matter of fact, man. Like I said, like Reg said, he is from Flow Mode. That's why I met Reg back in college. I was trying out and, you know, trying to put my basketball skills on the court. That shit wasn't working out. I had to focus on the academics, man.
Right.
I had to focus on the academics, man. Ain't no shame in my game, baby.
Word.
Yeah, but yeah, that was the intro. And if you are not familiar with the show, like Red said, he got some picks for us and also some fantasy football updates for us as well. If you're new to the show, Sporting Good Podcast, we are a somewhat similar to a sports investment firm where we try to help get as much money as possible. We do have something called a $50 challenge where you're investing into the company and you can also get a return from that company where we'll use your investment to try to make money for you as well as pay for resources to be accurate when it comes to our investments into these sporting events that's going on around the league and around the world. We have a lot of sport action this week. It is Thanksgiving week, which means that's rivalry week in college football, as well as the NFL Thursday. Instead of just being one game at night, there will be three games. And we're going to try to have some action for you for all week long. What you think for this week?
So, I'm on a couple of games, though, that I'm very solid on. One of the things that I have been in on all year is the and it's NFL. It's Arizona Cardinals, man. So, me, the Cardinals, because they're actually trying to win games.
Right.
They're out there going to try to win games. So, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've always picked them every single time they play tonight. Whatever that spread was, I was picking the Cardinals. Because how I look at it, with what I do is I do picks versus the spread, and then I do my overall pick straight up.
True.
And those usually match up. If I have a straight up pick and versus the spread, I go with that team. So for me, my team that I always pick as a lock is going to be the Cardinals. And the Cardinals, I think they play the Rams this week. So for me, that's like my lock pick of the week. I mean, that I have to do that. They have really been hit.
Do you got the spread for that game?
Right now, I haven't updated it today. The last time I seen it, it was 6.5. And I think that was here yesterday. But I haven't looked at it today. But I want to say it opened up at 6.5.
All right, that's what's up, man. We're gonna hop on it on the next segment. We're gonna close this segment out. Once again, folks, this is Thanksgiving weekend. Be thankful for something. If not anything, be thankful that your eyes open once again this morning. And you had another opportunity to listen to this on Sporting Goods Podcast. We're gonna come right back with Pizza. All right, and we back. segment, Picks and Parlays. I hope you enjoyed that little Spotify commercial. The boy voice kind of sexy on that. I don't like to like toot my own horn, but I'm just gonna let you know, man. My voice got hella swag, hella drip on it. So just want to put that out there in the airwaves. Right now, Picks and Parlays. We want to let Reg draw off his picks first. And then I'm gonna come around with my weak picks, as well as heavily teased and manipulated parlays for you guys. Last week wasn't that great. UM really killed your boy. The manipulated parlay was all on point until UM decided to drop the ball. But we're gonna let Reg go ahead with his picks. What you got for us this week? All
right. So like I mentioned last week, I'm definitely taking. So what I do for my picks, I actually always buy points.
Okay.
So, and it's usually not much, but the reason I do that is to get my winning percentage.
Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with that, man. A profit is a profit. Don't even sweat that. Our fans know about a profit being a profit. We ain't about trying to just win thousands and thousands of dollars. We don't want to lose our money. That's what it is.
Exactly. I ain't in this to lose money.
True.
So yeah, so as I mentioned in the previous segment, yo, I'm taking the Cardinals. Cardinals do play the Rams. Okay. And let me just make sure I'm right on that.
Right now the spread is -3 for the Cardinals at home.
Yeah. Yep, it dropped to all the way 3, and that's because people obviously money's coming in on the Cardinals. I actually took it at 6.5.
Okay.
So I took it when it opened up because, as I mentioned, the Cardinals are one of those teams that I believe always are trying to win the game.
True.
Next team with that I'm feeling very, very confident in is the Chargers. Chargers are -2.5 currently. What I like to do is, because I think they're going to win outright, what I would do is I'm actually going to at 1.5. I'm gonna actually buy down a point here because, you know, it gets better odds. So I think they'll actually I'm actually going up a point, 4.5.
Oh, so you're gonna do -4.5?
-4.5 because I think they're going to win the game outright. And the reason I do that is I'll add points onto that. Here's why, because how you gotta look at it, how I look at it is, you know, teams don't win in the NFL by 5 points. Very rarely do you ever see that.
True.
Right? So either 3-1 or like 6 or 7. It's more than that. So you never really see 5. So how I look at it is, but you will see a 4-point spread. You know what I'm saying? 28-24.
Right.
Yeah. 4.5, I feel like boom, that you know, that covers me. So even though I'm buying points, they only do win by a 4-point margin. You know, it's a break even. Again, I try to get winning percentage, not a loss.
So who the Chargers have this week?
They play the Broncos. It is in Mile High. It is a division game.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But, you know, the Broncos really haven't been stepping up to the mark, whether it's their home or away, and I just think the Chargers overall.
Oh, you're right about that.
You know what I'm saying? The next one I have is I'm actually taking the Titans versus the Colts. The Titans are +2.5.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I alter these are alternate lines because it's a division game. I'm going to take it at 3.5.
Okay.
So obviously, the odds are not going to be as good as winning, but I actually think the Titans will win that game.
All right, ain't nothing wrong with that.
And the next one, I usually only do 4-way, you know, 4 per week. I don't do a whole bunch. I'll leave that to the experts like yourself. but the other one that I'm taking is the, this one is, it's hurt me a little bit because it burned me earlier in the year. I'm taking the Jets.
Okay.
I'm taking the Jets versus the Bengals. Now, I'm taking them, here's the thing. I'm actually taking the Jets at 5.5.
All right.
-5.5.
-5.5. So you sold some points because they right now they favorite -2.5.
Yes.
All right.
So I think that's what I'm saying. I'm a little more big bullish on them right now because of Sam Darnold, how he's playing. You know, I'm a believer in Sam Darnold, and I just think the Bengals are there. To me, that's a team which is basically the antithesis to what I said about the Cardinals. The Cardinals are trying to win, and I don't think the Bengals are trying to win. They brought back Andy Dalton this week, but I don't think they're trying to win, and I think that's almost go away.
Oh, so that's like the new thing going on. Andy Dalton, he's back starting.
He's back starting this week. They made it official this week. Yep.
Okay. It still ain't shit, but I understand.
But that's what I'm saying, and they ain't really trying to win because, mind you, they still don't have no wins, and Andy Dalton was starting for 8 games.
That's true.
So. Nah, I'm not with you.
All right. So let me throw off my picks for this week. We got Thursday, Buffalo playing against the Cowboys. Cowboys at home in the Thanksgiving game, -6. Cowboys tend to start off slow. Buffalo tend to start off fast. I'm gonna go Buffalo first half. Right now it's gonna be +4. If the talking heads on ESPN keep talking down on the Cowboys, by the time it gets to Thursday, that spread might fall a little lower. So if you guys trying to get with Buffalo as well, get on it now. I use the Bovada account. Reg, I think you told me you use FanDuel to do your bets.
FanDuel Sportsbook. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So he do use FanDuel either or. The spreads change, and like I said, I think that the spread is going to go into Dallas' favor by time of the game because all the talking heads is talking down on Dallas and talking up on Buffalo. So be aware of that. Also, for the Thursday game, I have Saints in a rematch against the Falcons. The Saints right now is -3 away. They want some get back. I'm taking that half, whatever the half is going to be, whatever the game spread. I think the game spread might end up being like -5. So the half going to be like -3 in a sense. Right now, the half is only -2 or 1.5. Jump on there as soon as you can. I know I said that last week and the week before, and it both crashed. It can't crash again, man. I'm sorry. I'm a believer in the Saints, man. So I'm going to die with it. Right now, for Friday games, for college football, I got App State at the half. They're playing against Troy. Troy laid an egg against Louisiana Lafayette. They're going to do the same thing as App State. And they got UCF and USF. UCF is at home. USF has quit on Charlie Strong. They want him out. I don't think Charlie Strong will be able to hang with UCF. The spread is only -17 right now, which means the half is going to be at 10. Go ahead and jump on that half, UCF. And then you got Saturday games, Ohio State versus Michigan. You a Michigan fan, if I'm not correct?
No, that's my brother, Dre. You know, Dre is a Michigan fan.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Wisconsin fan.
Oh, my fault. I knew I had to beat one of y'all in college game. Not college game day, but was it college game day?
I think so.
It was one of college football games I was beating y'all ass in the dorm room. So I remember Michigan. That's all I remember. Right now the spread is at -9. That spread is going to jump more, probably to 14. If you get it right now, get it at 9. I don't like the game because I think Michigan is going to try to make a statement. However, Ohio State jumping off at the half, that's an easy go. It shouldn't be no more than 7 points. Jump on it. Liberty at the half, -14. I forgot who they're playing, but they're not playing anyone. Just because Texas State, that's what they're playing. It's -14 right now. The half is going to be at -8 or -9. Jump on that. Utah State at the half. Right now the spread is 11.5. The half should be at 7 or 8. Jump on that. And then Utah to have their playing Colorado. Colorado have stunk up every game away from Colorado. Utah is trying to get in the college playoff. They are making statement games. This is not even a rivalry game. So jump on that Utah game. You can take the run line at 28.5 or take the half at 17, most likely. That spread is gonna skyrocket up. Get on it right now. If you don't have a Bovada account or a FanDuel Sportsbook account, jump on it and stop going to your local bookies just to bet game on the day of the game. Use this as a business. Change your mindset to the business. Jump on Utah early. And then my Sunday games,
yep.
I had Green Bay at the half at the regular spread is at 6.5, so Green Bay at the half might be at 4. And then you got like I said, Baltimore at the half. They are playing San Fran. They're -6 at home. Baltimore have yet to leave the half down at the crib. The only half they lost so far, I think, was against Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm not even sure about that. I didn't really do the research, but from just knowledge and memory, I don't remember Baltimore losing a half yet. So I'm just going to go with Baltimore at the half just because it's a safe investment. Remember, always do straight bets, but if you want to do a parlay tease, you need a Bovada account. I'm not sure if FanDuel will allow you to parlay different days. Will they?
Great. Allow you to parlay different days. I'm not familiar with that. I'll be honest with you, Wig. I don't usually don't parlay.
True.
Because
it's not smart.
I don't like to parlay because it's not smart. And one thing that I've learned, and this is from somebody that I used to work with years ago, because I told him I don't bet. I just like to make my pick. But for me, parlaying is like you're trying to hit a lottery.
It's so
hard. Betting and investing is not trying to hit the lottery. You're trying to build a bank. You're trying to build an account. Allow you to make more money over a amount of time.
And just
tell me about parlay. I don't like the parlay.
And I just want to let the fans know we did not talk about this earlier in the day. This is his own testimony. I said the same exact thing. When you parlay, it is a lottery ticket. But when you straight bet, it is an investment. And that's why we don't call what we're doing gambling or betting. We call it investing because we're investing into sporting events. Every week, if you invest into the Patriots, more likely you're going to win your money because that is an entity that you want to bet. It makes sense, right?
Yeah, listen. It makes total sense. That's why when I said parlaying, you know how hard it is to hit a parlay? Like,
everything got to go right.
Very hard. Everything got to go right. So I don't parlay often, yo. I ain't going to lie. That's not something I like to do because that's me as somebody that's trying to win money and not trying to invest.
Exactly. But because all our fans do parlay, I always like to give them a manipulated parlay for the whole week. Mine would be App State money line, UCF money line, Liberty money line, Utah money line, Green Bay money line. Put that all together, that should win you about 2.5, maybe 3.5 units. So if you bet at 100, you'll win back 200 to 300 in profit, and then all together it'll be $400 to $500 in your pocket. No, I'm sorry, $300 to $400 in your pocket. So that's our picks. We're gonna ask Reg for a little fantasy football advice. Y'all know that's not my expertise. I'm trying to take this baby step, one step at a time, and I'm gonna let Reggie do his expertise when it comes to fantasy football. What advice you got for us this week?
Yo, so here's the thing, man. Like, so first of all, if anybody listening to this is still needing fantasy football advice, you're probably in your good looking season. Congratulations. That's a major thing. But with that being said, what I like to do is when it comes to fantasy football, I try to, as much as possible, make it about the week. You want to win your week.
All right.
So that's one of the best things that I think experienced fantasy football players look. You want to win your week. Just have the best lineup for that week for what you bet. And what that does, I'm going to give you guys who I think you should start in your lineup that ESPN, CBS, Yahoo, Fox, they're not going to give you these guys. You start these guys. So my start for quarterback, and I'm only going to do quarterback, running back, and wide receiver, but my start for quarterback this week, this guy I would start, and I know he's out on your waiver wire, is Jared Goff. Jared Goff. Here's the thing. Most people are going to look at Jared Goff last game where he had under 7 points, 7 fantasy points per game. In most standard fantasy football leagues, they would. You get 6 for scoring a touchdown.
Right.
Jared Goff is getting 1 more point in that for an entire game.
Damn.
So here's the thing, though. The reason why I'm saying start him this week is simply because he's playing a bottom 10 defense against quarterbacks. They play the Cardinals.
Right.
Are, I think, either the worst or the second worst defense versus quarterback this year in fantasy. And Jared Goff's stats, here's the thing. Jared Goff's stats versus bottom 10 fantasy defenses this year versus quarterback, he's averaging 32 points a game. So, even though he's been playing horrible, even though he hasn't been looking good, he doesn't look worth his money, I'm saying this week, it's a bottom 10 defense. He's averaging 30-plus points. And how I always look at it, J-Wig, is when you have a bad week or a bad couple of weeks and you're not a piss-poor player, even though I think I have my own views of Jared Goff, this is value. This is a layup. So, to me, Jared Goff is definitely going to finish inside the top 10, if not top 7, top 5, because his numbers – his numbers versus bottom 10 defense versus quarterback are on par. They're 30 points or more. All right, so I'm saying start Jared Goff this week with confidence. You have to have a bounce back.
That was a nice Easter egg. Go ahead, give us some more, baby.
All right, here we go. The next one is Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back Ronald Jones. They're playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Here's the thing. The Jacksonville Jaguars for the last 3 weeks have been the very worst defense versus running back in the last 3 weeks. What has Ronald Jones done in those last 3 weeks? He had 2 touchdowns in the last, over his last 8 games. He got 5 touchdowns. The Jacksonville Jaguars are right now giving up the most yards per carry in the last month of football. 7.21 per carry. 7.21 per carry. Alright? So, how I look at it is Ronald Jones, he's been scoring 5 out of the last 8 games. He's been scoring. It's this game to me. If Ronald Jones doesn't go off this week, really, honestly, he probably won't go off for the rest of the year.
Damn.
This week, he has to do it. 7.21 a carry. Like, come on, yo. That's more than a, that's almost a first down.
Yeah, I could get 4 of those yards. You know what I'm saying? I'm off of Hennessy right now.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, I, you know, we got to make sense of it. That's what I do. Like, he's got to be a player, a guy you got to have in your mind. Guess what? He may only be available in like 50% of fantasy leagues, but it's a lot of people that aren't going to call him. And that's what I'm saying. If you're even listening to this segment right now, you are trying to win the championship, and these are moves that I'm trying to get you to win your week and win your championship. Start Jared Goff or Ronald Jones confidently, and where they take you. The next guy for my wide receiver is DK Metcalf.
Okay.
From this, Seattle team. I've been on this kid, Paul. I've been on this kid since the beginning of the season. I'm a big fan of him. But the thing is, he gets a lot of red zone targets. Listen, DK Metcalf almost had double digit points last week, so he would have had at least 10. And he didn't have a touchdown.
Damn.
All right. So if he touchdown, that's already he bopped the pass versus the Eagles last. But what I'm saying is, I was going to put up Tyler Lockett in this spot, Wig.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to. But I don't like to use wide receivers that are ranked in the top 20.
Okay, I hear you.
So running backs and quarterbacks, I don't want them to be ranked in the top 10. But wide receivers, I don't want them ranked in the top 20. And where I get my ranking from is the other. He's not in the top 20. Right now, he's ranked 27. And to me, with this matchup versus the Vikings, I actually think it's going to be a bit of a high-scoring game. I do. A lot of people think it's low-scoring because the defenses are good. Russell Wilson has been balling. Kirk Cousins, even though I'm not a fan of his, has been doing pretty good with that offense. I think he's finding his groove. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and I think DK Metcalf is going to have a lot to do with it. So, start that rookie. I think he gets a touchdown. I think he gets 5 to 6 catches because he's been averaging. You got to think about this. He's also been averaging targets over the last 5 games. He's been averaging over the last 5 games. So he's been catching about 70 to 80 targets. So 6 catches, he might get like 60 yards, 70 yards, and a touchdown. Fantasy football world, that's 7, that's 6, plus 6. No, that's a good matchup right there. 12, that's 19 points from a wide receiver. So, you know, start DK Metcalf confidently, start Ronald Jones confidently, Jared Goff confidently, and watch those guys take the game.
Damn.
And shit, if you got like FanDuel, I think like the way the process works, like the cheaper you could use on like players that's not really out there and get more points.
Exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, hey, this is some great damn advice, boy. This shit hit. If this hit, man, and y'all didn't listen, that's all on y'all, baby. I could just lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink it. So
now look, I do want to say this again. I didn't talk about necessarily waiver pickups, and the reason I didn't wait is because, you know, the site that I even use where I have my Facebook, they're already going to disclose that information.
Right.
They're already going to tell you about the games on and so forth. They're already going to tell you about the backup running back course and stuff. They're going to tell you about those guys already. So what I do is I use my own analysis. What guys can possibly break out this week that have been consistent.
True.
Right? So those are the guys I mentioned. Like, Jared Goff, he's not going to put up 6 points. Almost impossible for that to happen. So that's what I did. I wanted to do with something a little different than what the major sporting fantasy sites are using.
Hey man, and then those the main sporting, like the talking heads on ESPN and FS1, those dudes, like, they're politicking at the same time. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
they give out faux information for their own benefit. So like, us, like, you know, we ain't got that big of a community, I'll be honest with you. So our information,
right,
is not like it's gonna get to Vegas or get to the capitals or whatnot, to the cap makers, the odds makers, and then they're gonna skew their numbers towards what we're saying. This is not gonna move the needle. So your advice and your information is gold. That shit is gold.
Because when it hits, it gets you over the hump. It gets you over the hump.
True that. So let me do a little recap. We're gonna call it Reg Lotto Ticket. If you want to put in this parlay, he liked the Cards by a few points, plus 6.5. The Chargers against Broncos by a few points, make it plus 1.5. And then Titans, he's selling points. He's so sure they're gonna win. So no, my fault. He's buying points for that and make it 3.5. And then you also have, who was the last team? The Jets. He liked the Jets so much that he's selling points for the Jets to make it minus 5.5. And that'll be his lotto ticket for the week. My manipulated parlay ticket for the week, I have Saints money line, App State money line, UCF money line, Liberty money line, Utah State money line, Utah money line, and Green Bay money line. That's my manipulated parlay. And then if you need some FanDuel advice for fantasy football, you got Jared Goff starting them against the Cards. You got Jones starting them against Jags. And then you got Metcalf of Seattle starting him against the Vikings. Next segment will be Barbershop Talk. Stay tuned. I hope you guys wrote that stuff down. If not, please rewind it and listen to it again. This is about your money. This is not about ego. Stay tuned. Yo, baby, yo. Welcome back. This is the Barbershop Talk of the episode. And as you can see, your boy is saying Barbershop Talk so smooth, the lips ain't getting away. I'm perfect. And that's on God, B, on 4-0, kid. You know what I mean? I still got Reg with me. We're going to start talking about Carson Wentz. I'm going to let him go ahead and introduce that subject to you with the Barbershop Talk. Go ahead, bro.
Yo, listen, I want to, since this is Barbershop Talk, I can be real.
Be real?
I'm about to be real. Okay, so
100,
I got an issue with Dan Orlovsky and Carson Wentz.
True.
Here it is. Dan Orlovsky, let me put out who he is. He used to be a former NFL quarterback. But so let me just say this. Carson Wentz played his worst game this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
This past Sunday was he couldn't throw a screen crack. He played his worst game of his career. Okay. So Wig, let me say this, and I mean all due respect to those wide receivers. But do you know who the Eagles wide receivers were this Sunday?
Not one of them.
Neither did the Eagles. The Eagles didn't know who they was putting out there. They didn't even know who they was putting out there. And I'm saying that say, because I'm bringing that to light because of what Dan Orlovsky said. They didn't know those dudes that were going out there, so you can't expect much from them, right? But right. Dan Orlovsky put blame on them, and he didn't place blame on the $100 million man with the red hair, Carson Wentz. Right? And that bothers me because I believe so much is given, $100 million, much is required. Okay, so one thing how I operate, I am not going to place blame on someone I didn't expect a lot from. I'm going to place blame on someone that I expect a lot from, and you didn't live up to the plate. So let me say this. He said, this is exactly what he said. I'm going to read his tweet verbatim, not quote. I rewatched the Eagles versus Seattle game. That's the single worst game I have ever seen at the wide receiver position when it comes to details and being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be and not fooling the quarterback. I was trying to be positive, but that was awful. They hung their quarterback out.
Okay.
I took issue with that.
Let me ask you one question. Hold up. He's not a part of the coaching staff or the game planning committee or whatever. He's not a part of the game plan. He's just talking like some regular-ass Joe, right?
You say for the Eagles?
Yeah.
No, he ain't part of no Eagles coaching staff. Nothing like that.
Wow.
What he do right now, he's an NFL analyst. And he's coming to bat to Carson Wentz on his worst game of his career. So, and I took issue with that, Wig. The reason I took issue with that is because these same analysts knocked Lamar Jackson. So much so, they said Lamar Jackson can't play quarterback in this league. He needs to go to wide receiver. These same analysts were criticizing the Cardinals organization for taking Kyler Murray and getting rid of come on. So what the reason I'm taking issue with that is because analysts view these white quarterbacks. I hate to make it a race thing, but the facts are the facts.
Right.
Carson Wentz he can't be at fault. Because even on his worst game, there is someone defending him. And I'm not talking about fans. I'm talking about an NFL analyst. All right? So
not to cut you off, Reg, but that's what I be talking about, man. They are talking heads. They are nothing they're not more special than us. Yes, some of them played the game. Some of them had the ability to play the game. That don't mean that they know the game as much as any other Joe that knows the game. And anybody can tell that Carson Wentz is not a $100 million dude. Carson Wentz did not win the Super Bowl. As a matter of fact, the person who won the Super Bowl is now at Jacksonville. That team actually won the damn Super Bowl. That team is actually goddamn good. Carson Wentz is a above average quarterback. I'm not saying that his ceiling is capped already. He's a young quarterback. He could be better. But at the same time, people are making it seem as if he's just God in Philadelphia. And everybody else around him is not living up to standards when it's really him not living up to standards. Because he's the one who got paid $100 million. And $100 million, you should be able to put up more than the points that he's putting up right now to win the damn game.
Exactly. And Wig, you know this. For your South Florida boy, Lamar Jackson.
True.
In the playoff game that he had, what were fans doing? What were the media saying about Lamar after his playoff game?
Dude, the fans, he had two completions in the first half. Only about 7 or 17 yards in the first half. Still try to come back and win that playoff game. That was his rookie year. His real rookie year. Not getting hurt as a rookie and then having a rookie year next year. That was his real rookie year. Fans was booing him, calling back for Flacco. Flacco, in the beginning of the season, had them out the playoffs. Lamar Jackson came in and got them in the playoffs, and now they're booing this man. For one half of his rookie year, they booing him, asking for Flacco, and then Anderson's like, why didn't you put Flacco in the beginning? What the hell? That don't make no damn sense. Go ahead.
No sense. So that's why I took offense to this. I took what Dan Orlovsky said very offensive, because Carson Wentz is in his fourth season.
Four.
Lamar Jackson wasn't even a full rookie yet, because he only played 8 or 9 games that year.
That
has to be one of them.
Ocho no way, man.
Like, come on. So that's what I'm saying, man. I can't deal with someone being so unrealistic to a quarterback when the same opportunity is not given to a quarterback. And I'll be honest, Wig, that looks like myself for you.
Bro, and then
that same opportunity is not afforded to us.
Everybody know that I'm always jumping on the race car, and I try not to, but a spade, you got to call that shit a spade sometimes. Even Vic being a black quarterback, at the time when Colin Kaepernick was going through his kneeling issues, Vic said, if you want to get back in the league, man, you need to cut your hair like I did. And I know Vic was actually talking from a good place. Like, he just wanted the best for Colin Kaepernick. But why don't we never have anybody having our back for the things that we want in life? But then quarterbacks like Tim Tebow, everybody is preaching for this man to get a job. Quarterback like Carson Wentz, everybody's preaching for this man to keep his money and to be considered the savior. And it's BS, man. Right now, Lamar Jackson is a MVP candidate. No. He is the MVP of the league. Even if they lose out, he will still be the MVP of the league for the things that he has done. You know what I mean? He still can't even get that. He can't get that consistency, that 100%. Like, you know what? He's that deal. People are still trying to say, oh, well, he has to do this and he has to do that. And you need to just shut the fuck up. Oh, I'm sorry. I dropped that ball. I ain't mean to. My fault, bro. It's the Hennessy and me. Don't blame
me. This is your show.
Go ahead. Continue talking that talk, Red.
Well, yo, that's what I'm saying, bro. Like, it's just crazy to me. And I mentioned it to you before, Red. I don't like to talk about race outside of a controlled environment.
True.
Sports gives me that controlled environment to talk about it, especially when sports is supposed to be a meritocracy. The fact of the matter is this: if I am better than you at my sport, I should play over you, regardless of how many feet I got, legs, arms, eyes, it doesn't matter. If I'm better than you at my sport, I should play over you.
Man, you better preach.
The fact of the matter is that we see in the NFL that sometimes goes by the wayside, and that bothers me. And it only goes by the wayside, and it goes by the wayside when it comes to an elite black player.
Right.
And a mediocre player. I will always say this. I took a lot of ridicule for this. People were saying Josh Rosen was better than Lamar Jackson. And I said there's no way in the football world that can happen. There's no way that can happen.
Josh Rosen?
But guess what? Josh Rosen to this day makes more money than Lamar Jackson. Think about it.
That is true.
People can get their salaries because of where they were drafted. He has to make more money than him until they get their next contract. What's probably going to happen, Josh Rosen ain't going to get enough.
Yeah.
And this is what's going to happen, Wig. Lamar Jackson is not only going to get another one, but he's going to expect the most money, and people and analysts alike are going to say he's not deserved.
They're going to hate. I just want to know if the NFL is really they continue to push this narrative as if, you know, they're getting over the whole racist situation and that they're trying to progress. That's why they hired Jay-Z. Things like this situation, when Lamar Jackson is up for his second contract, this situation is going to prove if the NFL is really progressing or not.
Yep.
If ESPN themselves and their analysts are progressing or not. Because if you're going to find a fault with a second-year quarterback who's 8-1 right now or 9-1, who beat Tom Brady, who's winning Monday Night Football games with ease, who started off the year scoring 50, 60 points against, like you're going to say that he doesn't deserve.
He also beat Russell Wilson.
Top three pay. Is something still wrong with the league?
Yes. And I'm telling you, that's the narrative that they're going to do. I'm telling you, I've been watching this game too long. I indulge it too much. I do all this stuff. I look at certain stuff, and that's why I say, this is my space. This is where I see certain things. It's going to happen. But guess what they did for Carson Wentz? They gave that man his money. Guess what they did for Jared Goff? They gave that man his money. And neither one of them got an MVP.
None of them got an MVP, and Carson Wentz, they gave him his money after a bum knee year. After surgery, they gave him his money.
You know what I'm saying, Wig?
After surgery, they're gonna use that. Oh, Lamar Jackson, the way he played, he's injury prone. They're gonna use that excuse against him when he's still standing upright. And
he never been
injured. After surgery, they gave him his money.
I'm telling you, yo, I've noticed those things, man, and I've noticed it for too long. I've noticed it for too long, so that's why I say what I say.
And I'm glad. And once again, people who are listening, we did not have a discussion about this particular thing before the show. This is his own mind, and I'm not manipulating him to say this thing. Don't be in my comments saying that I'm race bait. Don't be in my comments saying that I'm always talking bad about white. I don't talk bad about white people. I just talk facts about white people and this entity. That's it. I love white people. You guys are dope when you want to be. But
I don't think you're talking bad about it. I just think you're shedding, you're pulling back the curtain. And that's why I love sports. Because I can talk, I didn't say anything about anybody being racist. All I said was, these players get afforded something that the other black players don't get. And if we're saying, I understand that in the world of America, but when it comes to sport, those rules should not be applied. It's whoever's better.
Let the talent speak for itself. That's all. Yep. Just let it speak for itself. Don't praise the talent, and then when it's time to give the talent what it deserves, don't try to pull back now. Like, oh, hold on. He might be a Hall of Famer, but he's not the best ever because of this playing style. Like, no, man, the game is changing. You know,
and I want to say this one thing, Wig, before you end the show, I want to say this. There has been one person that has come out and has apologized for his analysis on Lamar Jackson. And that one person is, he was the former GM of the Indianapolis. And he was really the one that kind of set the tone for saying Lamar Jackson can't be an NFL quarterback. I forget his name. Is leaving me right now. But, you know, you can look him up. He actually apologized on national TV. He apologized on national TV. And I gave him a lot of credit for that. That's what I'm saying. Just to admit that you were completely wrong. What he said was, I apologize for saying Lamar Jackson can't be an NFL quarterback. He said, I probably was thinking about the old school way of quarterback.
America have to change, and they have to realize that change is coming. If you really want unity, you have to just embrace the change. Unity, there's new ideas, there's new style, there's new culture. If you really want to truly integrate it and not just take the best from it and still leave its past behind, you have to understand, like, just change. Imagine Mike Vick in the system that Lamar Jackson is in. Imagine Randall Cunningham in the system that Lamar Jackson is in. League would have blown. Like, just imagine Doug Wiggins getting the props that he damn deserved.
Right.
In the 80s.
I have my own thoughts about that, because Doug Wiggins won a Super Bowl, won Super Bowl MVP, and he didn't even start the next year.
Went back to the bench.
Yeah.
Like, just imagine they would embrace the fact that, hey, these players can actually do something in this position. Let's figure out how to make the best of this. The NBA really made a three-point line because too many players on the integration of the NBA with black and white players, too many players started dunking, so they said, hey, we need to make an advantage for the players who was already here. Let's make a three-point line as if black players couldn't shoot as well.
Yep.
Like,
and guess what? That's the narrative, right? If you just think of overall, you would say a white person can shoot better threes than a black person. Because that's the last hanging fruit.
That's the last hanging fruit. You're right.
And guess what? For the NFL, the quarterback position, that's the last hanging fruit.
And then they feel as if once it's gone, they have nothing left. Stop thinking that, because you got McCaffrey right now cutting it up in the backfield, who everybody thought that was a black person position. No, that is a white man with skill.
Exactly. And I'm going to say this, because I was talking to one of my boys. I said, the reason I think the NFL was dreading this day. The NFL was dreading this day, and that day has come. And what it is the top five NFL quarterbacks today are all black. And let me give you my list.
Go ahead, give it to
my list.
Give it to him.
Number one is Lamar Jackson.
Of course.
Russell Wilson.
Of course.
Sean Watson.
All right, I get
you. Mahomes.
Okay.
And guess what? I'm a Cowboys fan, and it's Dak Prescott this year.
Okay.
This year. And all the ones are black.
I love your list. I love your list. I'm just gonna take off Dak Prescott and I'm gonna put Jacoby Brissett right there. That's all.
But guess what? I don't mind that though. But that's what I'm saying. This is a day the NFL did not ever want to come.
True.
But guess what? Glad it came. I'm glad it came, and I'm glad it came on the 100th year. Because now it's time to change. New century.
You got to, man. Embrace the change. Embrace that cause, man. You got to. But we're gonna end the show right there on a good note, man. Reg, go ahead and get on your Twitter handles once again.
Yo, it's at Blog Mamba. Again, that's BlogMamba. Kobe's the Black Mamba. I am the Blog Mamba. So at Blog Mamba, right? Follow me. Say it again.
Instagram as well.
Instagram is the same, Blog Mamba. Listen, see, I post a lot of things on there, and I'm up for debate. I'm always up for debate. I'll give you picks. Let me know. You know what I'm saying? And it was great. I'm glad you invited me on your show, bro. It was a good show, Wig.
Hey, man, I appreciate you for coming on. And I'm going to get my Instagrams and Twitters as well. Twitter is SGPodcast305. Instagram is Sporting Good Podcast. And on Facebook, just search up Sporting Good Podcast and you'll see all of the same icons. That's us right there. Remember, check us out. Get all our information. Bovada is the way to go if you're going to be betting or investing into these sporting events. That is our show. I'm your boy, Wig. Reg, thank you so much, my brother. I love you, dude. I love you and your fam. You already know, man.
Appreciate you, man.
Ain't no problem at all, man. Once again, it's a yikki and a howdy do, and we out. Appreciate y'all.